bring it back to what happens inside of you. The hardest part when you build a personal brand and you want to monetize, it's your own self. It feels like cliche, but this is the single most important thing is you are your own limitations. You can't pay to be in truth with yourself. You can't pay to integrate your shadow side. You can't pay to be at your best. You can't pay to be in your best creative shape. You have to do the work. To be able to do the work, you have to find your solid why. Like, why do you do this? It has to be super clear. You have to have a super clear vision of your ideal future. And you and only you can do that and find your own way and your own voice, right? No one can do it for you.
True freedom comes from within. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Sovereign States of Mind podcast, where we explore what it means to reclaim authority over our own lives. My name is Jordan Erbs, and I'm excited to have you along for the ride. I believe developing our own independent ways of thinking and being in this life is the first step to exploring the potential experience we can have during our short time on this earth. My intention with this podcast is to have the conversations that help you realize that true freedom comes from within. For your convenience, this podcast is available on all major podcasting platforms, so head over to your favorite app and give us a subscribe and follow there, and you can be notified when there's new episodes. We also appreciate nice reviews if you like what you hear. And sovereignstatesofmind.com offers an option to be notified by email when there is a new episode, or even if you're interested in the content but not quite sure you have the time to invest in listening to an hour-long conversation, we do sum up the episodes pretty in-depth in that weekly email. So that's at sovereignstatesofmind.com. Just pop in your email. We'll only use that email to send you updates from what's going on with this show. So without further ado, let's get into this episode.
Sovereign States of Mind.
Max Baker, I'm so excited that you're here joining me.
Hey, man.
Yeah. So I stumbled upon your Twitter account, and it was almost like some things just kind of clicked for me. And in particular, in the last like 3 weeks, I've been starting my Twitter journey in the last two and a half months. I started mainly by just posting clips from the podcast and slowly started to get into like, who am I? What is my message? What do I want to share? And part of that journey is observing what experience I've had in this realm, in this life, and what are the insights I can offer people? Like, what is the true value I can offer people? Because I've never been someone that can just work to make money or to do something. I have to do things from my heart. So that's something, I guess, some contract I made with the universe a long time ago, and it's been a bit of a curse, to be honest, but but it's just the cards that were dealt, and here we are. So when I stumbled upon your profile, some things clicked. Like, everything I've been learning in the last, I would say, 12 years of failures as a content creator online, I realized that is exactly who I am, and that is exactly what I have to share, is personal branding and content creation is a spiritual practice.
It is, man. And, you know, I myself started on Twitter about, I would say, 3 months, maximum 3 months ago. And, you know, of course, with an idea of going and discovering personal branding, although I was already doing it, you know, I'll explain a little bit on that later, but just to explore more on the, you know, the new way of approaching personal branding. But I also wanted to share, you know, my thoughts on spirituality, which I didn't really do on other platforms, like, you know, Facebook, my, you know, in front of my friends or family and stuff like that.
Right.
And eventually it just like you say, it just clicked to me that, you know, personal branding business, at least for me, is sort of a spiritual practice, just like you said, right? And for myself, it sort of clicked in the last couple of months too.
So what?
What
about it makes it a spiritual practice for you?
You know, like I, being a spiritual person myself, I knew, maybe unconsciously, you know, 15 years ago, it started to get slowly more and more conscious that you know, what happens inside, your intentions, how you feel inside, your opinion of yourself, you know, reflects on the outer world, right? I mean, I think it's pretty much everyone has an idea of that. But as I got older and more in tune with my, I would say, spirituality, sixth sense, I just, you know, manifestation got a lot closer to intention, you know, in my daily life. And as of business in this, you know, in the personal branding, world, I also realized that your self-improvement, your self-actualization is your business, right? Your business development is as good as your own self-development. If you're not feeling, you know, especially on Twitter, it's an idea platform, right? So you have to express yourself a lot. You have to, you know, show your ideas, show what's going on in your life. And if something is, you know, not going well in your life, or you don't feel as confident, it happens to me, all of us, and me first, right? You don't feel confident for a couple of weeks, or I mean, you're not inspired, your business is going to be, you know, an exact reflection of where you are emotionally and spiritually at that moment. That's my, you know, my realization, you know, those weeks, those months. Yeah.
In my experience, so I've been like a YouTuber on YouTube since 2006. I started taking it seriously, or in my book, seriously, in 2014. Mm-hmm. And then got into Instagram later, and there was always Facebook, and there was always just what I call a scattered presence of what I had to share. Some were like travel videos, some were insights. I was never on Twitter just refining my ideas. And now it's 2023, probably in large part because Elon Musk bought it, and I started learning that you can be a bit more free with your ideas. Then learning that it's just a great place to market yourself when you have a very niche service to offer, where it's not really about needing millions of followers to have a business. All you need is, you know, maybe a few hundred people that really vibe with your message. And so for a long time, I would just be kind of, you know, just grasping aimlessly out there on the internet, trying to send out a message. And I didn't have that message. I didn't know what it was. And so one thing I really love about Twitter is it helps me refine the things I have to say. It's helped me discover the things I have to say.
Yeah. I realized it's that, because I, you know, I had a Twitter for years, but never really used it. It's like, you know, I tweeted once, I'm like, yeah. And what I realized is that it's, you know, as far as I know, it's the best platform to test and develop your ideas, right? I mean, I guess it depends on what section of Twitter you are, but this is for, I would call it, just for the sake of simplicity, money Twitter, because, you know, we're in this place where people develop personal brands. And so this is where I realized, you know, you're speaking of niche and stuff like that. So I you know, pretty much like everyone else, I've learned from Dan Coe, right? You know, I've learned some stuff from him. And the thing that struck me the most from him is, you know, your niche, it's important to niche down, but your niche is yourself, right? Your unique value and your unique product is your authenticity. So, you know, when we speak about spirituality and stuff like that, that's, you know, to connect with what I was saying earlier, is the big realization I had is the more authentic you are. And, you know, that means, you know, your failures, your, you know, your flaws, as well as your, you know, your what goes well for you, your victories, your this is your product, right? This is your niche. And this is why the more, you know, connected and authentic you are in business, in the personal branding business, the more you will attract your tribe. And eventually, because I'm not monetizing yet, but the more you'll get, you know, people that need your service, and people that resonate with you, right?
And yeah, and you'll generate that attention. I have a theory that I'm pretty sure many have had before me, but this is definitely the decade of authenticity and showing who we are. And for me, it's such a spiritual practice, because how can I demonstrate authenticity to the world without first figuring out who my authentic self is, or at least touching into that, at least, you know, because obviously that's we're very capable and dynamic beings. So there's no definitive answer to who am I, but you need to have a relationship with your heart, as they say.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, I had my share of difficult times, I think, like most people, you know, in my lifetime, and especially during the pandemic. I mean, there was some of the most beautiful moments of my life. I mean, we left for Costa Rica for the whole pandemic with my whole family. But, you know, I had a divorce. I had, I wouldn't say business failures, because I had a health online business. But it got difficult during COVID. So those things, you know, are part of getting to know yourself better. You know, I don't think I reinvent the wheel by saying that, but in the world of, you know, spiritual branding or spiritual business, it's definitely part of your value, you know, to be in touch with, you know, what was more difficult for you and your darker sides, and to be able to, you know, sort of express them freely in the, you know, online personal branding world.
And our challenges, the things we've learned from them, that's essentially our product in many ways when we're putting ourselves out there online, is, hey, I've learned this, and I'm showing up here vulnerable in order to communicate that I've learned this, you know, probably the hard way. And in my case, at least, most of the things I'm trying to share are all things I learned the absolute hardest way. And yeah, I think it takes a certain mentality to be able to show up that way, just authentic and vulnerable, and then put it out there. And I get really inspired when I see more and more people doing that. And it kind of makes me wish I came onto Twitter years ago to see what was going on, to watch the evolution of it.
You know what, that gray beard? I wish I was there before. but definitely, and especially in the last, I would say, you know, month, it's been more central to my it's the theme of my content, you know, nowadays. In the last couple of weeks, is about truth, and you know, it's the hard part, you know, about sharing, you know, it's you know, we sort of know it pays to be authentic. We sort of know it pays to share when you're vulnerable and stuff like that. But the hardest part is facing who you really are. I think so. And it's been a constant, you know, personal work for me, you know, since I'm a teen, or since I started getting conscious about the importance of these things. But, you know, it's really being truthful about who you really are. You know, what you can do, what you can't do, and accepting it, right?
So say you're someone that sees everything going on online, and you're like, wow, look at all these people making all this money. They seem to be doing what they love. Say you're someone that's recognizing that this is happening and you want to be a part of it, but you also don't consider yourself a spiritual person. You don't consider yourself someone there, even though you're open to it, you're not against it, nothing like that. It's just never really come your way. What would the first steps be to start investigating how to get started as a creator with a personal brand?
You mean putting the spirituality aside? Is that
no,
what you mean?
Both. From a,
okay, but, well,
both.
Okay, well, let me just say that, first of all, like, spirituality is not... You know, just to make, I should have closed my window, but it's not about being religious. It's not about necessarily, you know, doing yoga. It's not about, you know, subscribing to a particular templated school of thought, right? It could be as simple as reflecting on yourself, you know, trying to align to truth, you know, like I said, yeah, saying the truth, you know, trying to, you know, to be honest and stuff like that, but facing your shadow side as well, because I think most people are, you know, we're all good to, you know, avoid that or you know, not facing these things. We all have coping mechanisms not to do it. But so I would say just trying to have a practice. And what the easiest way for me, the most tangible way to do it is to have a routine, you know, like a master routine or whatever. So I'll just give a simple example. In my case, what makes me, you know, more clear-minded, because it's the goal, right? It's to be the most optimal for what you have to give to the world, right? And for yourself. So what I do whenever I fall off the wagon, you know, I go on vacation, I drink, you know, I have a couple of drinks, I come back, I'm like, yeah. So the easiest way is for me is to, might not be the same for everyone, but, and it's not, you know, it's not reinventing the wheel again, but it's like, I wake up at 5 a.m. I do, because I have kids, right? So I wake up before them. So, and then I can concentrate on writing, just creating whatever you do. For me, it's writing. And when I first started on Twitter, I'm like, what am I going to write? Like, I had like 2 followers and I would just like, okay, I would just start writing ideas in the void. And it's like, all right, I'm just tweeting in the void. Then I would do whatever I need to do in the morning. I personally have, I do intermittent fasting because it keeps me more clear-minded. You know, I have those, you know, those superfood protocols, you know, I have my lemon water, spirulina, stuff like that. So those are the first step, just to put you into some sort of a discipline with yourself. Yeah, discipline and truth with yourself. So, you know, when you have to wake up in the morning, you know, you have to do it. So you're sort of truthful with your vision, right? Write down your vision, you know, do a vision board of what you want for your ideal future, and, you know, have a tight schedule and follow it. And just by, you know, winning on those small little steps every day. I mean, you have 40 followers, you're tweeting in the void, but okay, I tweeted 3 times today, woke up at 5, you know, did my intermittent fasting. I won the day, right? It's sort of, you know, a ritual for yourself. So you get into the mindset of having rituals. So getting into some sort of spirituality as you are building, you know, and as you're developing your voice. And as you do that, within 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get like, your brain will get fired up and you'll get more inspired, and it's going to be like a snowball, you know, snowballing, right?
So developing the concept of a ritual in your everyday life, and within that requires discipline, an element of routine, and a practice. And in your case, that practice is writing.
Yeah, there's other things, but it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to imply like burning sage, although I do it.
I prefer Palo Santo.
Okay. Yeah. But it's just the concept of respecting your own promises. You know, it's the start of being truthful, right? And when you're in the truth vibration, not to get too esoteric, but although, you know,
we'll get
life
there.
So when you're in the truth vibration, it's a good way. It's a easy, tangible way to respect your own promises, to build discipline, to build inspiration, and as a byproduct, to build your following and to build your voice, right? So building your brand, because that's what it is. By building your own self, you are building your business and you're building your brand.
Yes. Amen to that. And I think a lot of people don't even realize that they are spiritual, even though I think that term is a little bit overused and saturated.
Yeah.
But what other word do we have? Just if you're on any kind of path of self-development, self-awareness, exercising every morning, that those are all elements of ritual. And when you bring yourself into a space when you're fully just there, you're there creating. That's what's great about the act of creativity, because you get fully immersed and time flies, time slows down. It's kind of like the time-space continuum kind of disappears for you, and you're just sucked into this vortex of just presence, of just creation. For me, that ritual in the morning is generally yoga or some kind of mobility movement. I like to create movement. It starts with my body. And then from there, I can kind of maintain this creative zone throughout the day. But so for anyone that is first getting started, this is a great path. In fact, it's similar to me when it comes to building my personal brand is I try to journal at night. Try to journal during the day. If some thoughts come to me, since I've been getting into Twitter, I've had more and more thoughts come to me, and I'm writing them down, and then I just turn them into tweets. And I'm like, this is great. My self-reflections are becoming my content that I'm putting out there. And it's like the purest possible content can be, because they're just like self-reflections straight from my heart.
Exactly. And I mean, a good thing to do is to immerse yourself. I mean, again, that's not reinventing the wheel, but this is what is needed, is you need to immerse yourself in new content from other people, because we're never creating from scratch, right? We're all recycling and, you know, putting our own color and vibe on it. But so I'll just give my example, because it's that's what I do, right? But it doesn't have to be like that. But what I do is, you know, I wake, like I said, morning, you know, creation, then kids in school. So, all right. So once I had this 2 hours of creation done, to sort of renew my brain, I'll go to the gym with a podcast on or jog or yoga or whatever. So while you are in this, you know, because exercise is one of the best ways to not be in the past or the future, but be in the now. And this is where inspiration, creativity, source is, right? It's in the moment. So while you're there, you're just absorbing new information, and you let your subconscious work on it, and it'll just give you, like, no one can tell me they won't get inspired for one-liners or for threads or for you know, for content. It's just, and yeah, so, you know, immersing yourself consistently in new content is just, it's not only going to help. I mean, you have to do that to self-improve yourself, and to reflect the self-improvement in your personal brand, right?
Well put. Yeah. I found that a three-hour session is generally, you said 2 hours, but I feel like you need a, I mean, it all depends on what you got, right? I never have 3 hours. I have two young kids, you know, we're waking up early too. Like, but you need about half an hour, 45 minutes to get in.
Yeah.
And then half an hour, 45 minutes to get out. And then you have an hour to do the work while you're there.
Exactly. Yeah. I say 2 hours is just because of the constraints, because I would like to be able to wake up at four. I'm not sure it's going to be ever possible, but five, like you say, try to get in, but then the kids are, you know, I have to wake them up at seven when they're school, or summertime is a little more, sometimes more flexible, sometimes not as much, but so it's about, I have a tight schedule, and I have other sources of revenues too. So I must jam within that, but sometimes I get more, most of the time I get more creative time during the day. So different creativity, but I get more usually.
Sure. I mean, we're such dynamic beings that creativity can manifest itself in so many ways.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the last couple decades, or I guess just the last decade, or entrepreneurship has become such a trend, is because it's such a beautiful way to express your creativity. And it's a way that can fulfill your financial obligations as well, and the, you know, societal obligations to provide value in this world and make a living, as it were.
And you know what? I think it got technically easier in terms of audience, in terms of, you know, diffusion, the way you can express your ideas, you know, the softwares, this and that. But the hardest part, and, you know, I'm relearning in cycles, right? But, you know, in this cycle right now is the I bring it back to what happens inside of you. The hardest part when you build a personal brand and you want to monetize your talent or whatever as a personal brand, it's your own self. It feels like cliche, but this is the single most important thing is you are your own limitations. And yeah, you know, money will help, of course, but you can't pay to be in truth with yourself. You can't pay to integrate your shadow side. You can't pay to be at your best. You can't pay to be in your best creative shape. You know, you have to do the work.
Yeah.
To be able to do the work, you have to find your solid why. Like, why do you do this? You know, it has to be super clear. You have to have a super clear vision of your ideal future. And you and only you can do that and find your own way and your own voice, right? No one can do it for you.
So we're mentioning this idea of truth and staying resonant with it. And I guess other ways to call that would be following your heart or staying intuitive, following your gut even. So let's talk about that for a moment. Okay, so I learned about all my self-limiting mindsets better than I ever have in the last 2 months of Twitter. And part of that is thinking about monetization in the sense of, okay, well, what do I have to offer people? Like, I want to do this. I want to play this game. And this is what my newsletter is about. My newsletter is just following. And this is all friends and family that joined when I quit Facebook a few years ago. And now I'm back. But the newsletter is just following my story of like, okay, let's do this. How do you do this? And one of the first things I realized was I was so scared of my own success. I was scared of putting myself out there. I was scared of being pure. I was scared of acknowledging that I have so many talents and skills and insights to offer people. And it wasn't until I'm just processing through it in my journal and in these tweets that I realized like, no, I need to stop being scared of myself. Like, I have true value to offer the right people. And sure, it may not be, you know, Mr. Beast level attention that it's going to generate, but it's
real. They all started somewhere. And this part I've learned in my first health business. So I started in 2016. I was running a health coaching program I was Facebook based at that time. So it was stress and energy with medicinal food, right? So it was this high ticket coaching program. But, you know, as I was building this business while doing my 9-to-5, while having my second kid and stuff like that, I'm like, man, I know stuff about health, but, and I got this naturopath certification to add to my, you know, to my credibility. And I'm like, all right, but I never made a dollar online. Why would they listen to me? You know, what do I have to offer? There's Dr. Axe and there's these huge names out there. I'm just this little guy in Montreal, you know? So, I took this mastermind to learn online business, and there was some mindset in there. And, but I'm like, all right, so I'm building. It's just, you know, the big names on Twitter, what they all say, and they're right. It's just start, man. Like, even if you don't know, it's like you go in you go bungee jumping, right? It's just, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what you're going to sell. You don't know what you're going to offer. Just start, just like I did with this brand 3 months ago, right? And so back in my story of my old coaching business, it's like I started and it's like, all right, I had this coaching, you're going to price it. You know, it was a high ticket program. You're going to price it $2,000. I'm like, what the fuck? It's like, okay, are you sure? I was going to sell it for like $50. And they, you know, of course I'm exaggerating, but so I started my program. It was in my mind, it was not done. It was not perfect. And, you know, I started the whole machine and put it online with my Facebook ads and everything. And all of a sudden, like, I woke up in the morning one day and I had this sale. I'm like, oh no. I'm like, I made a sale. What am I going to say? And I had to do it. You know, so my mentality has always been just jump. And whenever you face something, you'll have to do it. You won't have a choice. So when you have a choice, you'll procrastinate, you'll find reasons. But when you're faced with it, like I was facing this lady from Switzerland and the coaching, I'm like, hey. And eventually, I built this business up to, 15K a month. So oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do every step of the way?
Well, that's really inspiring to hear.
Yeah.
So the last 3 weeks, I've been super inspired. I've kind of channeled in this program, this cohort, if you will. And I've just been typing it all out. And the first draft is perfect. I'm like, okay, something's going on here. Like, I don't even need to revise this. And sure enough, there's three people joining me. We're starting Wednesday and someone's paying, you know? And I'm like, at first I'm like, I just want people to join so I can get some testimonials and see if this is for real, right?
So
I experienced the same thing. Like someone paid and I'm almost like a little bit of fear. Oh my God, I really got to do this now. But there's something really beautiful about boiling down the business model and capitalism, like provide value. And even if it's just for this one person, I am going to give it my all and provide the best value I can. And that's all there is.
You know, the best approach is to feel in your heart, like just, you know, I'm still into that phase on Twitter because I'm writing a personal branding coaching program, but it's not done. I don't want to monetize right now. So I'm just doing it for me right now. I know I'll monetize someday, but like, you know, in a couple of weeks, but right now I just want to learn. I want to help some people, you know, you're not used to that, just being there, just to be there.
Right.
So, you know, meet nice people, you know, awesome people like you, like-minded people. And I just do it for that right now. And once I'm ready, you know, but it's just the best advice is just to do it for yourself, for your own self-improvement at first.
So speaking of, you know, opening our hearts and just doing it for ourselves first, this episode is brought to you by Kapi Hawaii. If you're anything like me, you see the value in entheogenic plant allies and nootropics in your everyday life because they help us remain aware of ourselves, focus on our goals, and tune into optimal creative states. This is why I'm super proud to announce the first sponsor of this show. It's a product line of Kapi Vine microdosing lozenges. Kapi is a vine that has had a relationship with humans for thousands of years. Hailing from the Amazon rainforest, the Kapi vine has been a supportive ally to humans and recognizing the fundamental sovereignty we have over our own consciousness. A few years ago, the Kapi vine played an important role in helping me become aware of my psychological tendencies towards victimization when in the face of hard times and the self-defeating mindsets that I developed along with it. All that changed when I started working with Kapi. Maybe you've heard of this vine and a brew that comes from the Amazon. It's a completely different form. This is that same plant. I no longer fear taking responsibility and owning myself. These Kapi microdoses remind me of the self-growth I carry with me since those early ceremonies. It helps me return to a state of basic self-connection, and it's very subtle. When I'm microdosing Kapi, the rough around the edges feels smoothed out. My unproductive cravings go silent, and I find myself acting from an integrated state of just mindful awareness. It's very subtle, but with time, it becomes a very profound routine in everyday life. These are 100% legal and third-party lab tested. These lozenges use Kapi vine, all grown on the Big Island of Hawaii, always vegan, organic, and handmade here on the island. They are non-impairing and functional. It is an MAOI, which means if you're on any medications such as SSRIs, it's very important to speak with your doctor or physician first. Otherwise, I take one every day. I feel great. Whether I'm parenting or playing or working, the Kapi vine helps me better integrate all the growth happening in my life and everything I do. There's truly nothing like it. A lot of microdosing things out there. This is super special. Kapi Hawaii. Use promo code Jordan at kapihawaii.com. That's Kapi Hawaii. The proper way to pronounce Hawaii is Hawaii. kapihawaii.com. 15% off your first purchase. Promo code Jordan. If you're on the path of uncovering and creating your best self, Capivine is a powerful plant ally to have along with you. Are you familiar with the Capivine, Max? Have you ever experimented?
Yes, I am. Oh, yeah. In the form of shamanic ceremonies, though.
Yeah. Likewise. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so in the ad read, where we can't talk about that, but if you look it up, Capi, C-A-A-P-I, it's a very, very special plant. And in bigger doses, when it's brewed right, it'll make you vomit, and it's not always pleasant. But what you get out of it is
You know what? You mentioned, not those small doses, but, you know, the bigger shamanic ceremonies, it makes space, you know, physical, mental, and spiritual space, right? It just...
That's a really good way to
put it. Makes you a better conduit for, source inspiration and, new ideas, you know, feel better physically, even dissolve some problems, I would say, manifest better. Simply.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember my first ceremonies. The first one was everything I had always heard. But after that, I got the shaman had given me kind of just like non-psychoactive, and it was mostly just capi. So I was up all night just feeling kind of sick. And even then, I felt so amazing the next day, like just had so much energy. And there had not been any kind of psychoactive hallucination going on during the ceremony at all. So I'm really excited I stumbled upon these, because it's like a brand new form of experiencing it.
I just want to say we didn't call each other to be dressed the same, you know. It's just I want everybody to know it just happened. But
I was going to bring that up earlier. Like I was going to say we did plan this.
And there's I also have guitars back here, so yeah.
So
anyways, I would just put, it's super interesting what you're saying, because just to make a parallel with what we said earlier about the plant, is it's just not pleasant most of the time. It's there is some pleasant parts, but you don't do it for pleasure, and you do it to, self-improve and create new things.
To do the work.
And we were speaking about being truthful and, you know, self-actualization for yourself, but also with personal branding. And, you know, 90% of the time, it's not necessarily pleasant to do it, to face yourself or to go to the gym four times a week or, to run outside or to wake up at 5. I mean, you don't have to do all these things, but just, you know, to do the work is the hardest part, but in the end, it's the most rewarding, and this is what's gonna, bring it home, right?
Doing the work in every aspect of our lives. I tweeted about this recently. You can't outsource anything.
Exactly.
You can't outsource thinking. You can't outsource healing. Like, you always have to do the work. And I just remember the conditioning I was brought up in. Just our society in general tries to make you believe that, oh, just go to the doctor or talk to this person or whatever. And other people can play supportive roles, but you have to do the work. It always boils down to you have to do the work. Whatever you want in this life, you can achieve it. You really can, but you have to do the work. And that work is intimidating, and it can be really scary even to get started, but you have to get started.
But just like you said, we've been structured, and structured is the least we can say. We've been brainwashed and organized to outsource everything and be compartments in our lives, and to not do things by ourselves, not being self-sufficient in terms of our own well-being, our health, our education, and stuff like that. So it's really hard to sort of wake up to that fact. First of all, most people, don't realize it or are in denial about it or simply just don't want to do it, right?
I chose to build an off-grid house in Hawaii and start growing as much food as we can because of exactly what you just said. I wanted to be more self-sufficient. And I thought, I don't want to be dependent on, I mean, for food, right? Like, what happens if the grocery store doesn't like have food tomorrow, right? Like,
we know it happened.
We know it can happen. And we're very, And that, ever since 2020, we know more and more that like weird stuff can, anomalies can happen. And out here in the islands, you know, it's a lot more possible just because it requires big boats and, you know.
So are you there right now? You live there?
Yeah, I live on the big island.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So, but that was the thing. I wanted to know what it was like to build a house from the ground up and to plant all these trees and to start growing our own food. And everything is solar. We catch all our own water from the sky, from the rain. And yeah, when it's,
it's
droughty, we run the risk of running out of water. We have to go to the municipal water spout. When it's not sunny, we have a generator. We got to use fuel. But these are all things that I'm finally like able to confront. Like these are real important facets of life, like where we're getting our food and water and power. And suddenly to develop a relationship with these things, it's very powerful.
Yeah, that's part of my big vision to do what you do right now is to build have a self-sufficient house/small domain, right? You know, for different reasons, you know, to have you said it well, to have a relationship with, in the more spiritual way, to have a relationship with, you know, your food and stuff like that, your environment, but in a more practical way too, to be decentralized because, you know, when it's centralized, I mean, it's, we've seen it can get pretty dangerous and irresponsible to put everything in, you know, all our faith into central authorities in terms of food, you know, knowledge and stuff like that. So it's part of my big dream. Yeah.
And fortunately, more and more people are waking up to it. I mean, I feel like kind of late to the game. I mean, I always kind of knew this is what I wanted to do. But last year when Putin was invading Ukraine and the US was starting to get involved, I'm like, you know, there could be nuclear war this year. We're going to move. We're going to do this now. And I rushed. I'll admit I acted on a lot of fear, and we could have done things with a bit more patience and perhaps saved a lot of money and stress and time, but we didn't. We did it the hard way. And here we are, we're getting on our feet and it feels really good. But yeah, there's so much going on in the world that it's like we can't control it. The only thing you can control is you, your emotions, and maybe to an extent your family and protect it. But there's, like I said earlier, building a relationship with the things we're consuming, with the way we're living, is a really solid path to connecting with our true authenticity.
Exactly, man, and it's beautiful work you're doing.
Well, thank you. So you and I, my first interaction with you, as you mentioned, reality was a consensual hallucination.
Yeah.
And I always laugh when I hear that just because, like, I don't know if I agree that it's consensual. I completely understand. And the way I commented, I was just trying to, you know, get some attention on there. But like, you know, is it consensual when if our souls, if it were, are asleep and then, you know, we die, we move on, and then we kind of get recycled back into this life? Is it us choosing to be here, or are we choosing to be here to come back once we've already woken up out of the dream, out of Maya, the illusion, and then we die? And then we could choose to come back as these enlightened beings?
Oh, man. That's such it's a big reflection, right? I constantly have, and I constantly had since I was, you know, 6 years old, right? Uh-huh. And I don't think I have an answer yet, but, you know, to tie it all up to what we said earlier again, because everything's subjective, right? Everyone has its own hallucination of reality or whatever, but to me, you know, it's about truth again, and you know, again, it's not reinventing the wheel because, you know, religion speaks about it, although it's been hijacked and distorted as a message. Spiritual movements, you know, New Age has been hijacked too. You know, it's to control the opposition or whatever. But for me, just being in constant self-actualization, self-improvement, riding the truth vibration and following that path. And, you know, it doesn't mean you can't make money. It doesn't mean, you know, sometimes we're also selfish because when you're a creator, you need to be selfish. You need to be turned into your work and stuff like that. But, you know, to become a better human being as much as you can, you know, some call it rising your vibration, you know, some call it, you know, I don't know, whatever, but
yeah, we get it.
To me, it has a spiritual implication, but it's also, you know, if considering the nature of the world we're in, it's an electromagnetic reality where the more you raise your current, the more you will ascend, if we can call it like that. You know, you'll live a better life, you'll have better relationships, you'll have better synchronicities coming to you. And also, to me, it would be the key to eventually ascend to another reality, you know, it, when you die or whatever. But it's a complex question, and I couldn't say the
I feel like part of the ascension happens during our lifetime too.
Yeah.
I mean, we're creating new realities every day.
Yeah, the more you can be in the present, the more you are in the eternal also, right? Mm. Because when you're in the past, you're looking backwards. When you're in the future, you're stressed and anxious. That's not tuning into source and grace or whatever. And, you know, that's why I was saying the most efficient, the easiest way is to start yourself a small routine that was slowly, you know, make you feel better, make you clearer. For me, it's to wake up early. It's to have time to create. It's to have those superfoods and the intermittent fasting and exercise, and to have, I don't know, like some meditation or whatever. But, and then to use my own improvement and what I can channel, so to speak. You know, some call it inspiration, some call it, you know, channeling from, and then use it to create a product that I will, but a product that I can eventually sell, because that's going to be a reflection of my best self right now. Right. And, you know, just, you know, to make a bridge with what you were saying earlier, a transaction with the right intention is a transfer of belief, right? It's not a good or a bad thing. It's when you have the right intentions and the right belief and the right worldview for yourself right now, this is what you transfer with a transaction. And this is why charging money sometimes is the right thing to do to be able to help others and to transform lives, right? Because rarely you will transform lives. Well, I mean, that's not entirely true, because, you know, human relation with your family, it's free. But on the marketplace, when you want to help, sometimes, you know, the implication of a transaction is what's going to transform other people, you know, and that's all, you know, to me, it's all done in the right mindset. It's all part of, let's call it ascension.
There is something very important about someone. Well, first off, I just want to look at the language real quick. I don't think you or me or anyone, we don't transform people's lives. People transform their own lives.
Yeah. We're
just like support. Like, we just
facilitators,
offer kind of, right? But that said, someone has to want to transform their lives. And part of that transaction, that payment, is the investment that someone's willing to make in themselves. I think that's an important way to look at it.
Yeah, the investment. Like, I it's because we didn't speak in terms of pure business yet, but it is part of this whole. This whole subject, right? Because we spoke of not feeling worthy to ask for money. It's it, the first time I was doing sales calls before, it's like, okay, so, you know, like I would help people a lot on the sales call because I would dig into the root of their problem, right? Mm. And of course, I wanted a transaction to keep on doing what I was doing and to keep on, you know, feeding my family and helping people, but it would still help them if they wouldn't want the product, right? But the transaction is part of a healthy process, and it's part of the personal branding too, right? And in our world, you know, again, when done in the right mindset, it's part of expansion, you know. Yeah.
Well, this is awesome, Max. I think we've hit on a lot of really important points. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to bring up or talk about?
I like your shirt, man.
It's so hot. I can last about an hour trying to keep it silent as possible. It just turns into a sauna.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think, man, it was awesome. And it's great. All the subjects we talked about seem like super large and apart, but at the same time, it's one and the same, right? It's about being the best person you can possibly be and to be able to have a vehicle to share it with the world. And to me, that's what personal branding is. And that's why there is the element of spirituality in a sense for me and in that line of work, right?
And that metaphor for the vehicle is probably what loops us back around to sovereignty in this whole podcast, is having your own brand, a personal brand that just represents you in essentially your purest form, but it's also monetizable. I feel like that's probably a fundamental aspect of any kind of sovereign way of living moving forward, and the way it was, especially with AI coming to take over the way we consume information. Like, we have to prove our humanity. We have to prove our insights, experience, and we have to do the work to make sure it can be received in that way.
Well, I'll just conclude with that. But on a side note about the AI thing, it's like my reflection on that is, you know, am I going to get replaced? Am I going to this? I mean, of course it can happen and it will happen most likely, but what AI will never replace is human interaction. You know, like people will need human connection. People will need to feel understood. People will need to feel supported. People will need a soul, man. And AI will never have a soul. And this is why, you know, in personal branding, like any other digital product or, you know, physical product, it's not the information, because all of the information is available for free on Google if you really want to, right? And so people never buy information. They buy human connection.
Good way of looking at it. And that's another important point for anyone still listening that is interested in getting started but wants to have integrity about their personal brand. You can literally choose anything you want to talk about. You can become the expert in anything, but you have to do the work.
You have to do the work. The only thing you need to do is the only thing you need to do is become the expert in yourself. That's a good tweet.
That's a good tweet, and I think that's a good signing off point.
All right, man.
Thank you very much for listening. This podcast is available on all major apps. Please head over and follow there. And if you really like it, leaving a quick review and 5 stars is super helpful, especially on Apple Podcasts. SovereignStatesOfMind.com is a place you can put in your email to receive things to your inbox every week. These are updates, these are blog posts, anything related to this podcast and the theme of developing sovereign states of mind, sovereignstatesofmind.com. You can also support the show there by becoming a monthly patron. My name is Jordan Erbs. You can find me on Twitter as Jordan Erbs, JORDANURBS. And I look forward to interacting with you and hearing a bit about your journey. If you're interested in coming on this podcast, don't hesitate to be in touch. Much love. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Sovereign States of Mind.